Hey everybody, I'm Corbin.
And I'm Camry.
And we are siblings reconnecting with the joy of our Disney-filled childhood. Join us as we discuss, debate, and rediscover the second star to the right. This is The Neverland Files.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Two Merry Christmases in a row.
I think
it must be my birthday, too.
I think that's my third Merry Christmas because we did, I don't remember what Christmas movies we did.
I don't think you did it the first time, but that's okay.
Oh, okay. What was the first one we did? I don't know. It's
Jaws Enchanted Christmas. How dare you?
And it was beautiful. What a lovely, quite enchanting movie. And so today we're going to be doing our third Christmas movie, Mickey Mouse's
Once Upon a Christmas.
Oh, not Mickey Mouse's, but
I don't think anybody ever calls him Mickey Mouse to his face or on like an actual marketing thing. It's always Mickey.
Okay, Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas, which was the prequel to the highly anticipated Mickey's Twice Upon a Christmas.
Released 10 years later.
which makes me wonder if there is a thrice in the works at some point.
I would totally be okay with that. These movies are charming.
Which got me thinking, do they bring all the writers and directors into a room and they have an auctioneer who's like, okay, we got Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas. Do we have twice upon a Christmas? Okay, and let's go thrice. And then Hercules, we got one and we got number two. So which would be if they did it that way, that would be a very embarrassing situation if your movie came up and then no one said anything. They were just
crickets.
Yeah, it's like.
Songs of the South.
Can we even say that out loud?
Okay, moving on.
Okay, so anyways, welcome to the podcast. And this is a little bit different of a flick because there are little stories within
it's a Mickey flick, so it's like three little stories instead of one big ginormous one.
Yes. Do you have any story time, anything to add that you learned from this movie?
The only story time I have, there's tiny little Easter eggs. Angelique from Beauty and the Beast, The Enchanted Christmas is on Goofy's Christmas tree.
I saw that.
Did you? Okay, good. Cause I was like, oh, we reviewed that movie.
I was wondering about Angelique. Is this like a regular Christmas ornament that made an appearance all of a sudden, or did it originate from Belle's Enchanted Christmas?
No, it originated from Belle's Enchanted Christmas.
All right, cool. Yep, I saw that. All right, great.
Yep. And then Jim Cummings, who is like the voice master of all voice masters, does like eight voices in this movie. He does the Firefly from Princess and the Frog. He does Pooh Bear. He does everybody.
So you've got on the Mount Rushmore of voice acting, Jim Cummings, Frank Oz, and the other two are undecided.
I don't even know if you could have Frank Oz up there because he's got puppeteering going as well. Like he should have his own thing. He shouldn't have to share with just voice actors. But yes, Jim Cummings would definitely be on that.
Okay.
All right. That mountain. So anyways, just some little teeny things. Yeah, not anything big. Like we said, this is just kind of a pretty casual Mickey Mouse movie. So nothing to get too bent out of shape about. Although it has a 44% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and I was like,
reviewing this,
get in touch with your childhood and stop being so snarky.
Maybe it touched too much on their childhood, right? And we'll talk about that later.
Like, it's not complex enough.
But one thing I learned from this film, and this is probably common knowledge for everyone that everybody's born with, common sense in quotations, but
common sense knowledge.
I did not realize that Mickey Mouse's voice by Wayne Allwine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's actually married to the voice of Minnie.
Yeah.
They were married.
They were married for a long time.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So he passed away in 2009, and so his voice went to, I can't remember what his name is.
The new guy, and he's not married to Minnie.
Something like that, but yeah. And then Minnie, she passed away just last year. I thought that was cool that they were, you could tell the chemistry, you know, whenever they spoke together, you're like, this works for some reason.
Oh my gosh. I will say this movie reminded me how much I love Minnie's voice. Like, she has the cutest giggle ever.
Oh, darling, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so are you ready to get some thumbs up, thumbs down?
Yeah, let's do this.
Okay, we're going to go by, like, cartoon. So we're going to start with the first one, which I don't remember what it was called, but it was Donald.
I will pull that up here. I'm doing a little Donald Duck, Stuck on Christmas.
Stuck on Christmas. Mm-hmm. So, Corbin, what did you think of Donald in this flick?
Okay, so Donald plays a little bit. He's definitely, like, not the main character here, right? It's not about him.
Right. It's about the nephews, Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yes. I liked Donald a lot. He showed a lot of maturity and restraint, which is saying something for Donald. He was really trying hard.
He was. It's the holidays, and he was trying to hold it together, and he was trying to be the adult and be responsible. So, yeah, good job, Donald. We're seeing his acting range. He's getting out there a little bit, you know, diversifying his portfolio.
They're like, Donald, I want you to rein it in a little bit, okay, buddy? Just don't freak out, all right? And you can see as those moments where he's ready to have his Donald moment. And then mm-hmm. he's like, okay, all right, boys. And he redirects somewhere
yeah.
else.
Yeah. As we talked about in our Mandalorian episode last week, actors will tell you the most difficult thing to do is restraint. And so, Donald, big props, buddy, because you pulled the restraint off really well.
Great, great uncle. Which, I mean, I'm always confused about Donald and this family dynamic here. With a lot of these characters, you're like, he's the uncle. Where's the mom and dad?
Yeah.
What's going on with Daisy?
I try not to think about it too much. Because otherwise, I feel like there's a lot of tragedy in the backstory, and I don't want to know.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But I will say this. Donald wrote a very okay well to be fair I think Daisy probably wrote the note on the card, because we all know that's how it goes. You give a gift from both of you as a couple, and the wife writes the card, and the guy just has his name signed on it. But that was a very touching, sweet card that he gave Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
I don't remember what did it say. It's about the love, or I tried to.
It said the true meaning that Christmas isn't about bells or mistletoe or tinsel or presents. It's about the people who love you and the time you spend together, essentially. And you're like, aww.
Okay. Yeah. It feels good, right? Good job,
okay.
Donald.
Okay. So Huey, Dewey, and Louie, what do you think about the three of them? Because they're the stars of the show.
Initially, the first few times they wake up for Christmas morning, I'm curious, how much do you feel like that? Or at what point did you stop feeling like that?
Stop feeling like I want Christmas to be every day.
Every day, and rushing down, tearing open your presents. I mean, we showed a little bit of restraint in our family.
That's because our parents were like, no, getting some sleep.
This is why we showed restraint, is because we were up at 3 o'clock in the morning looking at our presents, organizing them.
Yeah.
And then by the time it was time to open them around 8 or 7 or whatever, we were just so exhausted that we were just pretty chill about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I could do... see, the thing for me is I'm actually more of a Christmas Eve person than I am a Christmas person. I love both, but like the anticipation is the best at Christmas Eve. Christmas morning can be anticlimactic a little bit because it's over, right? And then you kind of like have that lull after breakfast and everybody's kind of like, what do we do? but I think I could go like probably 2 or 3 days in a row of having Christmas. I don't know if I could eat many, if I could do 3 days in a row of mom's sausage balls. I would really like to give it a try, but I would feel so ill after 3 days of Christmas sausage balls. So yeah. And then after that, I would be like, okay, I need to get out of this. This is out of control.
Yeah. I think one day is totally adequate.
Totally plenty.
Totally. And I can remember, I think it was around like probably like 8th or 9th grade. Where I realized, it was probably a little bit later. When I was like 16 or 17, I realized I don't need to stay up all night. I can actually sleep in and enjoy this a little bit
more. Yeah, then you were boring because I was like 11 still and was like, Corbin, it's exciting. And you were just like, go away.
Sleeping in till 10 o'clock and everyone's like, is he going to
wake
up? Yes, and
wrapping your presents the morning of Christmas in newspaper. Oh, guys. I'm so glad we're all here to help Corbin. Anyways.
Oh dear, I forgot
Huey,
about
Dewey,
that.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Here, this was my, guess what? This was my philosophy. Everyone opens their presents, and then I sneak away when everything's open. And guess what? A surprise present.
Okay, from stop. Me. Anyways, I'm trying to get us back on track here.
Yes, Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
They've never been my super favorite. They were okay in this one, I guess. You're right. They were annoying for the first bit. But I think that's coming from the place of an adult. Like, I think kids think they're funny. But their character arc is awesome, and by the end you're like, oh, they're so sweet. So anyways,
and I think it's very understandable why they would resort to let's spice things up a little bit once they get really bored,
because it's like Groundhog Day.
I think this is an important episode to show children, to help them understand if Christmas was every day, you would get sick of it very quickly. It's special because it comes once a year. The anticipation builds up, and really, honestly, the day of Christmas, it doesn't. I mean, it's fun and special, but I don't think it lives up to just the absolute nerves and like staying up all night and can't.
Well, wait. That okay? I disagree. As a kid, it totally does. As a kid, it does. You grow up, and it kind of doesn't anymore, but it does in its own way, and that's okay. So
All right.
Thumbs up or thumbs down on Daisy, Aunt Gertie, and Scrooge, who are the rest of the visitors for Christmas.
Okay, Aunt Gertie, let's start with her. Her slobbering kisses.
Guys, is this what ants are like? Is this, I'm concerned.
Jeremy, you are turning into this.
I'm turning into the unmarried aunt that like slobbers kisses all over children.
Where's my kisses?
Oh, I could just eat you up.
The best part about Aunt Gertie is her dance moves. I love the... You know, elbows bend, shuffle. I thought that was phenomenal. Other than that, Aunt Gertie is a little bit difficult. And I would certainly, even now today, even though I hate the cold, I would be running out the door with Huey, Dewey, and Louie to go sledding if Aunt Gertie showed up.
Sorry. Oh, so sad. Poor Aunt Gertie.
She has
her own charms, but... We all have that family member that's just a teeny bit too overbearing.
I'll give her a thumbs down. Sorry.
Okay. I love Scrooge. I love seeing Scrooge. I love his accent, and I love seeing Scrooge in like in like kind of a happy and normal place, in not his like Scroogey grumpy place, but he's like, "Who's for carols?"
This apparently happened the morning. This is the morning after he has his dreams and visitations from the spirits.
Yeah. Do like a timeline. Mickey's Christmas Carol and then watch this one.
Yes. So he's all about the carols. My favorite carols. And he's
my
like,
favorite carols.
Ready to go. I'm going to give Scrooge, if he was in my family, I'd be like, oh no. Because sitting around a piano and singing carols, that's not for me, you know.
That's okay though. We can still love him.
I could be over in the corner just stuffing my face with food and playing with the kids' toys and just totally be content. Everyone else can do that, but
Daisy for me, I felt so usually Daisy's role as kind of like telling off Donald is well placed, like that's their relationship. This one I felt like she, because Donald was kind of milder, I felt like there were times when she was like, it was a little unnecessary that she was being so critical of him.
Yeah.
Because he was really trying to pull it together pretty well. And she was just kind of on top of him the whole time. And I was like, Daisy, chill out.
She knows that if she does not keep Donald in check, it could get out of control real quick, right? So this to me says this relationship is, it's probably like around year 10 in the relationship, because Donald's really trying hard. And Daisy's really keeping on him, right? Like you promised this Christmas you are going to be nice, okay? So that dynamic is interesting. I did like Daisy. I thought she's I was okay with it. I give her a thumbs up.
Okay, awesome. So are you ready to move into the Goofy cartoon? A Goofy Christmas, I think is what it's called.
I do have a couple of would you rathers.
Okay.
So with this particular episode, would you rather have to sleep, and I don't know where this comes from, it's kind of like a random, anyways, would you rather have to sleep in Donald's sailor captain hat,
mm-hmm.
or sleep in a bed with two other people, like Huey, Dewey, and Louie?
You know what? I take the captain's hat because I'm a side sleeper, so it wouldn't bug me that much.
It's right. Like, it's so vertical that you just lay on the side of your
not
face.
Not a problem for me. I'm a side sleeper, so yes.
But wait, can you imagine, like, having to flip over? It's like, lift up your head and just, like, that whole...
It would take a lot of effort, and then as soon as you got to the tip, you'd just right fall in.
Yep, yeah. You're good. Okay. All right. Yep. Yeah, sleeping with two other people when the bed is the size of three people laying next to each other, that's as wide as it is.
I've done that before, and I honestly don't know that I didn't get a lot of sleep that night.
That just reminded me of camping. I was like, oh my gosh, like in a tiny two-man tent with like three other boys and Boy Scouts, and we had like two sleeping bags. It just was a miserable night. So yeah, I'll take the ridiculous hat.
I'll make the hat work. Yep. Yeah,
we'll figure it out. Okay. And then we already kind of answered this one, but the question I have is not necessarily would you rather, but which holiday, if you had to pick a holiday, and it has to be one of the main holidays, would you be willing to live with every day for a year?
Oh, so my gosh.
We're talking Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween. We'll throw in 4th of July, Valentine's, Easter. I think those are kind of like the main holidays.
You know what? You're going to try and talk me out of this. I'm actually going to take New Year's Eve. I love New Year's Eve.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to be so sleep deprived.
I know. I'm going to be so sleep deprived, and there's going to be fireworks every single day for a year. But I really do like New Year's Eve. It's kind of fun because it's really open-ended as to like what you do for New Year's Eve, but everybody's always in the mood to do something and to party. So, you know, we can shake soda all over the yard every day for a year. So I think I'll take New Year's Eve.
Wouldn't that be a little bit weird though? Because it'd be like, oh, right, a fresh beginning. And then you know, it's not a fresh beginning.
But how cool to be able to wake up every morning and be like, oh, it's a fresh beginning. You know what I mean? Anyways.
I don't know.
Anyways, okay. Corbin, you answer your own question. I told you you'd make fun of mine.
Well, I was going to pick 4th of July, obviously, because of the weather. That's all I care about. But I did have questions and concerns about the fireworks every night. I think I would just get sick of that because I can't stand it when my neighbors are shooting off fireworks at 10, 11 o'clock at night. My kids are trying to sleep and I'm just like, enough, right? Like we got it. We figured it out.
Corbin, so, this is good because you're not just a Scrooge about Christmas. I think it's just celebrating life in general just really annoys you.
No, not celebrating life. It's about celebrating stuff. Okay. No,
celebrations in life though. Like any type of celebration, you're just kind of like, I'm not having it.
Yeah. So I think I would have to probably go with, 4th of July, I'll go with Thanksgiving. It's a quieter holiday, football every day for a year. It'd be brutal. I'd probably be so sick of the food, but well, you know, there's plenty of variety of food that I can just chow on that thing. So I could
space. I think that's a good one. Cause I also like that we both picked holidays where everybody's off work. Cause for me, that's what I love about like Christmas, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, like everybody in our family is off of work. So we can all spend time together. Cause otherwise like 4th of July, it's like, oh, people may or may not be working. Like, you know, so it's kind of like, meh.
No, 4th of July, you better have that off. If you don't have that off, you're,
well,
your job.
Okay. Anyways, moving on to Goofy.
Okay, let's go to Goofy. This is Goofy, a very goofy Christmas.
A very goofy Christmas. Thumbs up or thumbs down on Goofy?
You know, I struggle with Goofy. I think he,
of course you do, because he's a spaz.
Watching him on screen, I can watch him for 30 minutes and I can be okay. So I was okay with it here. But if I had to watch it anymore, I think I would just stress me out. I would just be like,
he's too much of a, yeah, he's a little too sporadic for you.
There's something about clumsiness. When I do something clumsy and hurt myself or drop something, it really infuriates me. I don't know why it is. Like, I don't like clumsiness.
Oh my gosh.
Which is weird. And it's not just other people. It's myself as well. I get really irritated by it. So anyway, so Goofy's a little bit hard for me sometimes, but I'll say yes. He was a good dad. He was really doing some good things.
I liked this Goofy because you get to see him with Max. And it's not like Goof Troop Goofy, which is like very much about like Goofy is the goofy parent. This is like, you really get to see Max and Goofy have like a special bond. And I loved that. I thought it was very, very sweet. And you get to see that Goofy has a really, really good heart and has his priorities in the right place.
Serving that family, makes them dinner. It almost becomes a disaster, but it works out. He's out on the roof until like 4 a.m. looking for Santa for his son.
Yep.
Good job, Goofy. Yeah, I'll give 2 thumbs up for being a good dad.
Yay. Okay, thumbs up or thumbs down on Max?
Okay, now Max.
Oh, he's in that age group. Brace yourselves, everyone. He is
in that age group of Disney characters. It's hard for me. I don't like it. I can't get behind it. He's a little bit younger. So initially, you're kind of like, okay, Max is, I like Max. He's still kind of cute, a little boy, like, you know. But then you start seeing that sarcastic, kind of grumpy, brooding, punky teenager coming out. And so I was like, oh no, here we go. This is what it all turned for the worst.
Max wasn't my favorite. I liked Goofy more than Max. But I did love like who Max ended up being at the end, right? So like you went on that whole Santa journey with him. And then at the end, like he's the one trying to help Goofy feel happy.
Yeah.
So I did like Max, like their relationship's the best part. So maybe it's a struggle by himself, but it's good. Yeah,
when he tried to be Santa.
Yeah.
That was cute. I mean, I'll give him that.
And then thumbs up or thumbs down on Pete. Corbin loves Pete. He doesn't like Goofy, but he loves Pete.
I love Pete. He is just the funniest. He's the type of person that you just want them to make a film about him, not necessarily with any type of a story, but you just want Pete the neighbor, grumpy, goofy, not goofy, but just grumpy man. I love Pete. I love how he says that Santa is an urbane myth. And he's like, and he really wants his squirty gun and his yo-yo from Santa.
Where's my squirty gun?
Yeah. I know you can hear me as he's flying away.
I mean, Pete is Pete. I will say he does show up in the next cartoon we're going to talk about. I like this Pete better. He's funnier. Pete in the next cartoon with Mickey, he is a piece of work. And I just want to like, I can't stand him. He's not funny anymore. He like crosses the line into like absolute jerk. So in this one, he gets a thumbs up from me.
Okay.
Would you rathers or anything for this cartoon?
I do have a would you rather, and I'm pretty sure what your answer will be here. But for this one, it is who would you rather have as your neighbor, Pete or Goofy?
Goofy for sure. That's the dumbest question ever.
No, it's not the dumbest question ever because he's so clumsy. He is going to create.
He's a good neighbor.
He's going to damage your property on multiple occasions. He'll fly through your roof. He will get shot up in the air and fly through your roof.
That's so fine. I don't mind.
Knocked down. I think it's a little bit more difficult than that.
No, I don't want to live by grumpy people and feel like I need to like tiptoe out of my house because I'm afraid like that they're going to yell at me and tell me what their opinions are and just be like, blah, 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 blah.
You know what? If I don't think Pete is going
to. And Pete's snowblower blows all of the snow onto your house. So you're going to have snow damage from Pete's snowblower anyway. And he doesn't care. He'll have like 16 lawyers and then you'll never get anything from
16
him.
16 lawyers.
Yeah. He's just that kind of guy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay. That was a terrible one. I apologize.
You tried, but I brought you to my side. Okay. Last one is the Mickey and Minnie cartoon. And what was that one called, Corbin?
Mickey and Minnie's Gift of the, is it the Magi?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yes. So what'd you think about old Mick in this one?
Old Saint Mick. This one, of all the little stories that we watched, this one I remember the best.
Okay.
And so as soon as like it started, I was like, oh boy. Because it's a very cute story, but it's also heart-wrenching, you know.
Oh, okay. I'm with you. About I gotcha.
How they give up some of the things that are most important to them. And then in the result of that is that they are lacking the thing that the other person was gifting them.
Yeah.
And it's very it's heartwarming in a sense, but also you're just kind of like, you feel sad for them because they're just doing everything they can to make ends meet and show each other how much they love each other. And you're just like, I just want to help them. And they're a cartoon. You know?
Oh, Corbin, you're so sweet. You can't help them.
You can't help them, but you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. But then you realize, like, maybe it's okay. Like, they're like, because you keep seeing that, like, all these people who have, like, these businesses that are, like, successful, like, they don't seem like very happy people. You've got Pete, who thinks he's happy, but I think goes home and is lonely by himself at his house because he's so grumpy.
I think he's pretty content with the way he lives his life.
And then you have Minnie's boss, Mr. Slick Willie Mortimer, who you just, again, like, people who just have no soul. There's just no depth there. Can't even get her name right as he's like giving her the fruit.
Minnie.
Winnie? It's Minnie.
I can guarantee you that Mr. Mortimer spends Christmas in his office crunching numbers and trying to squeeze every dollar out of every customer he possibly can.
Yeah. So my favorite part of Minnie and Mickey in this one, Mickey is, I mean, he's a standard. Like, Mickey always plays himself. He's basically like the Clint Eastwood of...
of
Mickey cartoons, because he's always Mickey. It's like Mickey as this character. It's never like, oh, he's playing this character and it's Mickey. No, it's always Mickey. And so he's always sweet. Minnie, this again, as I said, this one reminded me of how cute she is, how cute her voice is, and that, like, she's looking at Figaro and she's like, oh my gosh, I don't know how we're gonna have enough money for this Christmas. And then Mickey comes over and he's like, I don't want to eat you out of house and home. And she's like, no, I'm going to make you breakfast. I have plenty for everybody. And she doesn't. She's just really sweet. So I liked Minnie a lot in this.
Her kindness stresses me out a little bit, because I'm like, you two need to have a talk here. Let's get married and let's work together and figure this out. You know, it stressed me out a little bit because I just, the kindness. Yeah.
This is turning into a really weird episode where it's like, kindness stresses me out. Clumsiness stresses me out. And it's just like, Corbin, you need to relax. Oh my goodness.
I know, I have issues.
I do agree with you though. They are in that place in their relationship in this cartoon where it's like, you're in love with the other person, but you're not quite ready for the reality of a serious relationship to set in yet and to actually, like, have really hard conversations. So you just pretend. You pretend you're fine. And when the other person's around, you pretend everything's fine and you're good. And then you just don't ever address anything. So they're in that kind of, like, honeymoon stage-ish.
Yeah, we got to take the next step, Mickey and Minnie. It's been almost 100 years. We got to get there, okay? You got to have those tough conversations. You'll be much happier.
Yep.
Okay. No, maybe I'm the idiot. Right? Maybe I'm the one that's having too many of these conversations and I just need to chill out, right? Just stuff.
I don't think when you're married and when you're in a serious relationship, you can have too many conversations, but yeah, I'm with you. So what did you think about Pete in this one? Because he is the villain for the second time.
He's always the villain. He's always Crazy Pete, that's what his sign says.
owns a tree lot, sells Christmas trees.
And he treats this tree lot like a car lot, right? I mean, I am going to get you into this tree no matter what.
Get you a down payment on it. You can just pay me throughout the year for your dang Christmas. Here's a weed. Yeah, and you're going to be paying me $100 a month.
Payments for a Christmas tree. This is brutal. And yet we still do that in our lives. Like, there's so many payment options for all this crap that we buy in our everyday lives. But So I thought it was actually kind of funny. I thought I enjoyed Pete because it was just, again, another way of demonstrating how ridiculous our society is. I think Pete is a reflection of that in many ways.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people out there, and we fall into this of consuming stuff that Pete's make in our world.
Yeah. And letting them talk us into stuff. Can I just tell you that sweet, 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 sweet family that came to get the Christmas tree. They're really struggling financially and their little kids want a tree so bad. And he wants to, I love that he whips out this like 12 footer or whatever. And the little kids are like, wow, it's bigger than our house. and the dad's hand is like shaking as he's trying to sign the mortgage for the tree.
Oh shoot, man.
I just want to go. No, I'm glad that place burned down. Like, get rid of him. Good
See,
grief.
That's why I'm okay with it, because he sticks his stupid cigar in his pants and it blows everything up. But I'm okay with it because, well, he didn't learn a lesson, but you know, there were consequences to his ridiculousness. So I'm okay.
Yeah. That's a good point. All righty. Anything else that you want to talk about with the anybody in the Mickey and Minnie episode?
Okay. No, I think we're good. Okay. I do have a thought about just general movie.
Let's do it.
So I watched this and I felt a lot of guilt when I was watching this.
Okay.
Because one thing that's really, I've noticed something about myself. One thing that's really got me into the quote unquote Christmas spirit this mm-hmm. year is when when neighbors bring goodies and treats. And I'm like, wow, this is great. Like, I love it. I love that these people that we don't talk to that much are showing this kindness and giving us something. And I really, really appreciate it. And I think it's okay to say that. I'm just being honest here. I enjoy that. I love the getting part. And I justify the getting part by saying this: if none of us would receive, then there would be no one to give to. And so I've just really enjoyed that. So a little shout out to my neighbors, those of you who we don't even really know that well that brought things by our house. It really has, I've really felt that appreciation and love and whateverness of Christmas.
You want to know what is nice about that is it just kind of trickles in throughout the month, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like you have to just like sit around and wait for Christmas to come, but it's like you walk in after a hard day and there's like and they're like, oh, somebody brought cookies, and you're like, oh, thank you.
Thank you. I wasn't gonna make it.
Whereas like the rest of the year you come home from a hard day and you're just like, I wish there were cookies.
Where's the cookies? No, but I also love that it's just very brief too. It's just like, here you go, Merry Christmas. And I'm like, thank you. It's not come on inside, let's talk for an hour. Not that I don't like talking to people like that and getting to know them better, but it's just very brief. It's just, we love you, Merry Christmas, and then they move on, right?
Now your challenge, Corbin, is returning the favor so that they can have a happy something surprise on their front porch sometime.
Yes, I'm working on that. I've actually been thinking about it recently a lot. So, but again, I just want to say thank you. Anyways, so, but I have felt a little bit guilty when I was watching this because I was like, man, I really do miss the Christmas spirit. You know, what do they say at the end of the film? The narrator, he says, so in the end, the reason for Christmas is it's more than gift giving. It's a time of getting together and sharing love and things like that. And I, when I heard that, I was just like, if we could just get to Christmas Eve, I'm good. But leading up to it is really hard for me. And so
I'm glad we've come up with ways to kind of like help you see the spirit of Christmas before Christmas. And thank you to your neighbors for helping, again, for anything we can do to help Corbin feel that like little Christmas glow in his heart. That is awesome. I need to come bring all of you treats too, because Corbin is not ever expressed that he felt the Christmas spirit before Christmas. So good job, team. High fives.
Thank you all.
Okay. So do you have any other general thoughts about the movie before we move into our kind of our wrap up thoughts?
Let's see. Do we want to talk about the Christmas moment?
Yes.
Of the film?
Yes.
What was the Christmas moment for you?
What was your Christmas moment?
The pinnacle happy moment. For me, it's usually some like obscure random spot. Like, it's not like the climax of certain things. But in this certain case, I really, really loved Goofy. For me, the Christmas moment for me was watching Goofy on the roof, watching for Santa Claus. And it's not about Santa Claus, right? It's not about that. It's just that he was so incredibly uncomfortable, but he didn't even care because he wanted to make sure that Max had the most magical Christmas ever. That was really
cool. Sweet. So for me, the Christmas moment for me was also from the Goofy episode. I loved watching Goofy go serve dinner to his neighbors and teaching Max about like what the true meaning of Christmas is and how we take care of each other. and watching Max gradually grasp onto that, and then at the end be the one that initiates, I'm gonna go share my new present with the little boy next door. And that like whole thing, it just warmed my heart, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. So I think generally probably the Goofy episode is what brought the most Christmas spirit, but that moment specifically watching Goofy cook dinner was awesome in his own goofy way.
That was really cool.
I will say this, I just want to give a shout out to the narrator. I really like how they pulled together these three separate stories, how they kept coming back to the Christmas tree and you'd look at a separate ornament and then the narrator would like say like a little Christmas poem. I loved the narrator's voice. It was filled me with Christmas joy. It felt like Santa telling you a story.
It was Santa.
They like panned to the right of the tree and he's sitting there eating cookies, talking.
Drinking milk.
All right. Anything else?
Nope. That's it for me.
All righty. Should we go into our awards?
Let's do some awards.
Okay. What do you got?
Okay. This is really good. We're taking a turn here from the Christmas spirit.
Oh, brace yourselves. Oh, boy.
For me, the most disgusting belch.
Oh, geez.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Usually when there's like a belch, it's one of those moments where we look at our mom and kind of like, she's just like, oh my gosh. And we're laughing because she thinks it's so disgusting. But in this particular case, the belching was disgusting. It was just,
it was like juicy and just like, like you could taste the turkey.
So and the first time it was just one of them, and then the next time it was all three, and you're just like, oh my gosh, like I might have to turn this off. The rating has gone from G to PG. It's just that bad.
So, that's so funny.
Very disgusting.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, my awards are kind of in a very different vein, but we'll start with the least Christmassy. So I have two gym awards. We haven't done a gym award in a long minute.
Yes.
So the first gym award goes to Donald, and it's when the second Christmas morning, when the boys fly all of their toys into the kitchen and they crash with Donald in the breakfast. Uh-huh. And Donald's very, very angry. So angry, in fact, that the propeller in his mouth has now caused him to fly. And Daisy sees him and she's like, Donald, stop playing with the boys' presents. And he just pauses in midair and stops and looks at the camera all annoyed and then falls to the ground.
You know, maybe that's what Donald finally realized, that people were filming him, and that's what kind of got him to chill out a bit. I think I would do that. If I knew someone was constantly filming me, I would probably chill a little bit more. So maybe that's what I need. I need to have a crew that just follows me around.
Maybe.
Christmas. Yeah,
there you go. And then the second gym award goes to Goofy. When Max says that Pete, the next door neighbor, told him that Santa Claus wasn't real, Goofy looks at the camera and says, well, that figures. Because he was like, who in the world would tell you there's no Santa? And he's like, it was Pete. And he's like, mom. So anyways, yeah, two gym awards in this
even
episode.
Goofy, it is goodness and kindness of heart, knows the kind of person or what animal that Pete is.
Yes. So, yes, yeah. He does.
Okay.
All right. Any more from you?
Yeah, I've got one more. So again, not really helpful here in terms of Christmas spirit, but the best law enforcement award goes to, in the Goofy episode, you've got Santa Claus climbing on the roof, coming out of a chimney, and then they circle him. And did you see how many cop cars were there? I mean, this was quite the sting.
This is like a small town situation where one thing.
There was like 20 cop cars on the ground. They all had just figured out that this guy was going to be stealing people's toys. I was really impressed by the law enforcement in that town. Very safe. I would feel very safe in this town.
And there was like a helicopter, and it was like, oh my gosh, this is like a sting operation.
Yeah, they were dialed in. This guy must be a real bad dude.
Yeah. Okay, I feel like we have to nominate Goofy on our best dad award. He was awesome. And I don't think I was expecting that. It had been a minute since I watched this. And I just sat there and watched him. I was like, despite all his clumsiness, he has got the best dad heart. So I'm putting him on the board for best dad.
Okay. Best Disney dad. All right. Okay.
Any more from you?
No, I'm good. I'm done.
Okay. My last one, cutest kid award, is twofold. One of them is the little girl that asked her daddy if they're going to get a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
We are going to get a Christmas tree, daddy, aren't we? You're just like, oh, my heart is breaking. And then the other little kid is the next door neighbor. He's like, I've got two carses. He is so cute. And he only has two cars. One of them Santa brought him from Christmas, and they're like little teeny cars, and he's hoping Santa will bring him another one. But he's like, you can play with my car if you want to. I've got two. And that's like all he has. And you're like, oh, cutest kid ever. So I loved the little kid side characters. They were awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. I'm sorry. I don't have anything to say.
Yes. Okay, so where does this movie rank on our Christmas spirit ranking?
Okay, Christmas spirit ranking. This does fall above the Santa Claus. The Santa Claus is certainly going to be the outlier, I think, here in this in these Christmas movies that we review. But I would put it below Beauty and the Beast, Enchanted Christmas. It's hard to say that with it being Mickey, you know, it's hard to put Mickey down a notch, but in terms, I don't know why, I just kept feeling kind of guilty. So this next week with Christmas Carol, Muppet Christmas Carol, that's going to help me to work through these challenges of guilt and issues to become a better person. So I'm ready for Christmas Day.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, I have the exact same ranking as you. This one for me is above the Santa Claus for sure. Cause it more so has those moments that really gets at the true meaning of Christmas for me and isn't focused so much on like the Santa Claus and North Pole, which has its fun magical stuff, but it doesn't quite get to the giving and the selflessness of Christmas. And then obviously it's below Beauty and the Beast, the Enchanted Christmas. I think the downfall with this one, if there is one, is the three separate narratives. It's very easy to like say, I enjoyed this 15 minutes, but I didn't like this 20 minutes, if that makes sense. So I think with any movie, when you kind of have like little short stories, it's going to make it more difficult to be like, oh, I loved this compared to a full length feature film with like a
comprehensive.
Yeah. With the time to like expand on some themes and yeah. So as Corbin said, we are doing Muppet Christmas Carol next week, guys. I think we're both so excited because like when we first started doing the podcast, this was the one Christmas movie that we were like, oh, we got to do Christmas movies because we want to watch Muppet Christmas Carol and review it because this is like our family's favorite Christmas movie ever.
Traditionally, this has been the movie that I will watch on Christmas Eve.
Yep.
When I'm really being proactive and a go-getter and wrapping presents on Christmas Eve as opposed to on Christmas morning or in the afternoon or whatever I'm doing. So very excited for this of this flick. And I think one of the reasons why is because it comes later in the Christmas season for me. I really enjoy, okay, now it's time to really get all excited about
Christmas. Yep. And because next week, obviously, like I can't believe I'm saying this, next week is Christmas. We're actually going to be releasing our Muppet Christmas Carol episode on Wednesday. So that gives everybody plenty of time to like listen on Thursday, Christmas Eve, and Friday Christmas. Because we all know once Christmas is over, none of us will care until next Christmas. So just that the episode's going to be coming out 2 days early, which means that both of us will get to watch Muppet Christmas Carol twice. Watch it once for the episode, and then you best believe I'll be watching it on Christmas Eve.
And we're doing this because we're assuming you don't want to listen to our voices on Christmas Day. So you can listen to it on Christmas Eve or afterwards. So anywho, that is our episode of Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas. Let us know what you thought of this particular film, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
This has been another episode of The Neverland Files. Subscribe and review and join the conversation over on Instagram @The Neverland Files. Thanks for listening.